You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
Well, it is time for our biblical worldview question of the week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away Worldview Ministries, located in Carmel, Indiana. Yes, you can find out everything you need to know about their ministry at anchorsaway.org. Good morning to you, Nancy.
Well, good morning, Steve.
Well, it's very nice to have you back. I'm so glad that we could talk about this. You know, work has always been something that, you know, it has been placed upon man. God commanded such. And a lot of us look for reasons to escape it. We try to find out and ways to get around it. We look for ways to get on vacation. We often complain about it. But there's a very, very distinct purpose in the reason why we are to work. And God's part, it's all part of his design. So how do we view God and work?
Yes, and you know, so often work takes on kind of a negative connotation, like we have to do it so we can go to the grocery store and buy gas kind of thing. But from a Christian worldview perspective, we don't have to look far into the scriptures to see that God was the first to work. He defined what work is. And what I love about God is it's just this Genesis, and even in Genesis 1:1, wow, you start the scriptures off with in the beginning God created. And we look at this and we say, well, God created, and then God worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh, the Sabbath. Because all that God is and does is good. We know he sets an example for us as to how we need to consider our work. I don't think God in that first day or second or third or fourth or fifth or sixth, you know, yawned his way through the day saying, oh no, another day. Not at all. You just see in the end his exuberance. You know, we look at Genesis 1:31 through 2:2, where God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning in the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh from all his work that he had done. That's Genesis 1:31 through 2. So, here we see this beautiful picture of work in the coming from God to us, as clearly as a way for us to see that God works, we work. And then we look at Psalm 19:1, and the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And God wants to show himself his creation through his work. And I think that's why we, as God created excellence and brings much pleasure to us, even looking at a sunset or a sunrise, you know, we reflect on the beauty of God and his work. But I don't think God's looking for perfection in our work. I don't think so. I think a lot of people worry about that. I don't think so. But he's looking for a grateful heart that reflects the heart of his Father. And we clearly see this in the scriptures. Colossians 3:23-25. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And then Ephesians 6:5. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God, where from the heart, rendering service with goodwill as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anybody does, he will also receive back from the Lord. Wow. I don't know about you, Steve, but it just this much changed my perspective of work in the grumbling behind it sometimes. This is what God has called us to do.
Well, you know, Nancy, here's the thing. Many times we look for ways out of the work, right? We live in a culture of escapism. And, you know, this then makes me question, how do we honor God in doing our work? Because often people are very, they never feel like they're in their giftings. And gifting is an important thing where we're skilled at that. So how do we address that in our life?
Yeah. And you know, I remember a kid, one of my sons said, I said, come on now, let's pick up your room. He said, I'm not gifted to do that. I mean, I don't know where that came from. But, you know, and it reminds me of kind of how we are today. You know, this idea, well, I'm sorry, that wasn't in my contract. Or, you know, this is hard, therefore I'm not doing it. And no matter what the task, and, you know, no matter who asked us, our command from God is to give our all to our work with the skill that he has given us. He has equipped us to do what we are called to do. And nobody says it's easy, you know. And when our hearts beat for God, our work will bear much fruit. You know, giving lip service to God by thanking him for the gifts that he's given us. And then giving to the poor, poor work for performance, that kind of thing is a sin. Why don't we give our all to what we do? And this is what I think God is talking about here. Complaining about a job that we are asked to do is displeasing to God, because he's given us work to show our gratitude for him. And it's not the work, but rather our attitude behind it that matters. And whether we're working at home or in the workplace, God wants us to live him out with everything we do, not only the work specific, but how we treat others, how we engage with others. That is, honestly, that's the greatest apologetic, is how we live out, not only on our with our families, but at work. And again, we all know people that work to make money and to gain status. That's the humanist in us. But that does not reflect a Christian worldview. God has much to say about our work and the pay that we get to it, that we need to be givers to the poor and to God's work and ministries, et cetera. But keep in mind, you know, we're in ministry, and writing a check is not always the best way to help support others. You know, it's this idea of being involved in life with godly counsel. You might be asked to give clothes or food, or just to be with people to encourage them. That's what God is calling us to do. And work takes on a much bigger picture than that. You know, assisting others, building relationships, praying with others. And also this whole idea, I don't want to go into this, but it's a whole new venture of this idea of encouraging and helping people get jobs and keep their jobs so they can provide the, for their needs. And they will have a better sense of God's purpose for their life. But, you know, this John 6:27 says that God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help him. And John 6:27, don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal. So we're without really excuse, I think.
Well, you know, Nancy, I love that piece of scripture because it reminds me so much of what Jesus says. You know, I have the living water. Anyone who drinks of this water at the well is going to thirst again, but those who drink of that from me will never thirst again. And when we think of that, what are we committing ourselves to? This is a big part of the decision process in selecting the work, understanding who we are, how we're gifted, what our purpose is. To each, we are purposed to reflect the glory of God in our relationships and in all that we do. And when we kind of begin to get that right, we're never going to get it perfect, but we can get fairly close, right? That's because we have to make that decision that here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do what I'm doing for the money. I'm going to trust in God for his provision, and I'm going to live in the giftings that he has put into me so that he is glorified. Now, we may attain some level of success, or God may bless us abundantly that we be exalted, but no matter what it is, it's a measure of faith. It is a tremendous measure of faith. So in the workplace, you know, how do we deal with that to be reflective of Christ? The hands and the feet conform to the image that loves others and will hopefully do what we've been called to do in the Great Commission. What does that do in the workplace?
Well, yes, and I love what you said. And you know, you personally have given up a very successful career at one time in your life, Steve, because it was not honoring to God in a way that you wanted to honor God. And I just have so much respect for people like you who say enough is enough of this. Our job as Christians is to carry Christ by the way we love, by the way we speak, into the workplace. And yes, there's going to be persecution. No, you shouldn't go in and preach to everybody, but we can preach silently, you know, by the way we love. And I think if we take a different look at the workplace, there are many ways to love others, and hopefully through time earn the right to share the gospel. We all have difficult people in our life. There's no question about that. But we can pray for them. We can ask God to give us, you know, a time to say a kind word to these people and this and that and the other. We can live above and beyond it without getting involved in personal disputes, because our voice, as you say, is much bigger. It's the Great Commission. And I just think that as we earn the right to share the gospel by the way we live, no matter what the company rules are for sharing your faith, this idea of speaking out our faith, really sometimes, mostly maybe in silence, through the kindness that you extend to others, for your willingness to walk alongside, hey, I can help you with this. Do you need some help? Or for many, it's just sitting down and being willing to be with them and to listen to them, you know, regardless of what status they have in your work, if that means anything, no matter how you personally feel to that person, but just your willingness to listen to their story, your willingness to be a part of the Christian community that says, you know what, I am going to be Christ. I read in a book called Your Work Matters to God by Doug Sherman and Bill Hendricks. And they said this: what would happen essentially if all the Christians really understood their call? Let me just read this to you. They say, the key to bringing the culture in the church back together, to renewing the workplace and reforming the church, may well be a movement of people who are known for their hard work, for their excellence in their effort, for their honesty and unswerving integrity, for their concerns for the rights and the welfare of people, for the equality of the goods and services produced, for their leadership among coworkers, in short, for their Christ-likeness on and off the job. What could an army of such workers accomplish? There you go.
Well, you know, Nancy, when I think of that, that is a wonderful statement. What a wonderful statement, because we often do wonder, does God care about our work? And, you know, it's his design for us. This is such an important thing, because work takes up so much of our life, and we should be doing that which we have been called to. It's just far too great of a calling, honestly, that we pay attention and we don't squander that opportunity. This has been great.
Yeah. And you know, I think we need to just turn upside down this idea of work. Our job each day is to live out Christ, just like was what was mentioned in your work matters to God. Yeah. You know, that you're known for your hard work and your excellence, that you're known for your honesty and integrity, that you don't cross that line, and that you speak out for the rights and welfares of others. That's what we are to do. It's not easy, and sometimes it's confrontational. So to answer the question this week, you know, does God care about work? Absolutely. Primarily, it's big on his list. It's the first thing he showed us how to do, you know, is to work. It is his design for us to grow in wisdom and to be a light for the hurting world. This is what God's really called us in there to do. Yes, money is attached to work. Of course it is. Too often greed takes over. And the question we as Christians have to ask is, my primary reason for work to glorify God, to do great work, or is it to earn money and status with my friends and with family and all of this? Yeah. And I think that might be a big concern for some of us. But we look at Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I think the question for us, you know, that we have to ask, Steve, is this really who I am? Am I somebody that allows my light to shine even on a bad day?
Yeah.
And in John 15, you know, look, my command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends, and if you do what I command. So yeah. Again, this is not anything that we could take lightly. It's a command, and we better listen to it, because, you know, standing before our God someday to give an accounting of how we lived out his son, I don't want anybody to be surprised, shocked that, oh, you mean in the workplace too? Yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
And, you know, when I think of the importance of this and understanding what it means for us to be those lights upon the hill, you know, it's far too important to miss that and to not do what God has gifted us to do and what he has called us to do. And this is all that you teach through Anchors Away in our worldview curriculum. And I want to point people over to it, to anchorsaway.org is the place where you want to go. Worldview and leadership training is what it's about. And that is how we can glorify God right there. If you want to find out about the questions of the week, you can also click right there on the website for the Q&As, the questions of the week. Everything is there archived. And what a joy that is. Hey, Nancy, I want to say thank you again for bringing us this question.
Well, thank you, Steve. It's always good for me to refresh my own mind and evaluate my own life with these questions. And I think this is particularly an important one coming off of Levy and all this, but there's much deeper meaning to this. And I love the way you work. I love the way that you are always offering to help other people in other ministries, Steve. And you are a great example of what we're talking about today. You and Kelly both.
Well, go to anchorsaway.org to find out more and be with us every single Teaching Tuesday for the Biblical Worldview Question of the Week.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.